come. Thank you so much. In the first lesson, we heard the words, "Do not be afraid." In this lesson from Luke, we hear the words, "Do not be afraid." In fact, there's 365 days in the year, except for this year. And at least 365 times in the Bible, it says, "Do not be afraid." Oh. I don't think that's a coincidence. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Amen. Let God lend his understanding to the reading of this word.
Amen. Thank you, Julie. And I didn't realize that "do not be afraid" more than 365 times in the Bible. Maybe it tells us something. We oftentimes do get are afraid, and God is telling us you don't need to be. I have a question for us this morning, or maybe a statement to make. How many times in our lives the status quo is changed? Whether it's something as simple as your car breaks down, now what do you do? You know, little things that happen to us that we don't know what to do after it happened, and all of a sudden it throws your life in an uproar. Little things and great big huge things do that. But our status quo is changed oftentimes. And when it changes, it causes confusion, it might cause anxiety, it might cause panic, it might cause fear. It causes a whole lot of things. Worry. The why questions oftentimes start with us too. Why now, God? Why this? When everything was seeming to go pretty good on this particular day, why did this have to happen to me? And now everything's all messed up. I don't know what I'm going to do. Sometimes that status quo changer is a good thing. It's not always a bad thing. Sometimes we even know it's coming, but it comes nonetheless. And when it comes, think about a new baby. And how that changes the status quo, doesn't it? Everything changes when a baby comes into the picture. So sometimes it's not met with fear. Sometimes it might be met with excitement. But I just wanted to kind of end our Christmas time frame looking at these shepherds and looking at us and seeing how the status quo gets changed. What do we do when that happens? There are a lot of changes that may come to our lives that really mess things up, at least for a little bit. Whether it's a lost job, or maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's marriage, or maybe it's divorce. Maybe it's high school to college, or something along those lines. Maybe it's retirement. Maybe it's health-related issues. Maybe it's a death of a loved one. Maybe it's moving. You see all these things that change everything in our lives? Maybe, as I mentioned earlier, it's a new birth. Let's not forget another one here this morning. Maybe it's salvation itself. That changes one's life. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, it changes your life. And there's a whole lot of good in that. But sometimes it disrupts the way we were before, because now we've taken on something brand new and it changes our lives. Let's not forget all these things, some very good and some not so good. They change our lives. And I want to be reminded this morning in this story about the shepherds that because of who he is, because of who we are in him, Jesus Christ, God, our Heavenly Father, we don't have to be fearful. You see, the shepherds here were faced with a new reality, weren't they? They would be worshiping God in a whole new kind of context, because before it was very, generic. They knew about God. They kind of knew God from their scribes and the Pharisees that had described for them what they'd heard about God, and they might have even heard a bit about this Messiah that would come, but they didn't know a whole lot of particulars because it was prophecy and all that. And see, previous to this, they were kind of worshiping God, but not in a real intimate kind of way because they didn't know God real well. God wanted to fix that, didn't he? With the Messiah that was to come. But it was kind of a, maybe generic's not the word, but they worshiped God as they knew him, but they didn't really know him very well. And on this particular night, they would go from a generic worship to God to something a lot more specific. They knew God from a distance before, and now they would know him, not just know about him, and there's a lot of people in the world today that know about God, they know about Jesus, they know about the Word, they know about all that stuff, but there's a difference between knowing about and knowing. And they would go from knowing about, maybe knowing to some degree, and now they were going to be face to face, first of all, with the angels. Think about that. When the angels came to be the messengers of this one that was to come, and they were telling the shepherds, don't be afraid. I'm bringing you some really good news. Someone is being born in Bethlehem, or has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, this great company of the heavenly host, can you imagine that choir? A lot more of a choir than even the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. There they were, and heavenly host appeared with this angel who was making, sharing this message, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Then they left. And the shepherds thought, maybe we should go. Because this is quite the presentation. Wouldn't you say? Quite the presentation. So they left. Before, they'd been worshiping God from a distance, and now they would come face to face with God, come in human flesh. They went. They worshiped the Messiah. Even though they didn't know the fullness of what was going on here, I don't think there was anyone on earth at the time that knew the plan from beginning to end, like we read it in Scripture, that this Messiah that came was going to end up on a cross. Even though there's prophecies there, even though there are things stated in the Old Testament about this, the suffering servant, no one knew what was going to happen. But they came face to face with the Messiah, and they worshiped him. The angels were basically, in a sense, saying, if you don't go and worship the Messiah, then you're saying no to God, because the Messiah is God. Come. Christ the Lord, Messiah, Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, the first and the last. It should not have come as a total surprise because they'd heard some of these prophecies, but I'm sure it still shook up their status quo. I can imagine being a shepherd out in the field and all you're hearing is some Latin sheep and probably chewing fat with other shepherds and kind of like whatever's going on tonight, then all of a sudden, here we are. The status quo has changed. There's a new reality now that wasn't there before. The shepherds have been changed. When faced with the truth, they had two options. They could ignore it, or they could accept it. Fear will oftentimes cause rejection, by the way. Sometimes when we're afraid, it causes people to run, doesn't it? Sometimes when we're faced with something that a truth is really trying to be told to us through the episode, instead of facing it, we run from it. We reject whatever it is that has affected our lives. Just like how we respond so many times to crisis in our life, whatever the crisis may be. Crisis will never leave us the same. Crisis will either draw us closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or we will walk further and further away. You will never be the same when you're faced with something that changes the status quo. It's like gravity. Eventually, it'll take you down. You got to do something. The new reality was the Messiah. pride sometimes can cause us to reject. Doubt, unfamiliarity can sometimes cause us to reject. Why would these shepherds, why would we embrace this that was being shared? Well, the angels were trying to tell them as clearly as possible, not just the one, but the heavenly hosts that were there as well. It is good news. What is happening here is good news. It is great news. It is the best news you've ever heard. You need to go and embrace it. It is for everyone, not just for you. That's why I believe maybe as we hear the story in the gospel, maybe the shepherds were the first ones to go. Maybe that was God telling us through this story that, look, I came for the least as well as the most. It is good news. What the angels were trying to share and what the Messiah would eventually share is that we are dying and He is saving. That you and I are dying and He is saving. He is the Savior. We need to understand that. We are dying and He is saving. And I don't mean just physically dying. Without Christ, we are spiritually dead as well. To not embrace this new thing that was coming would mean spiritual death. And with it would come dissatisfaction, emptiness, hopelessness, lack of purpose, ultimate misery. You see, there's nothing in this world that can satisfy the way the Messiah can. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy the way Jesus can. Yet people will try other things. It always falls short. Jesus came to change the status quo. Jesus came to change everything. It upsets the apple cart, but it's a good thing because it's great news. Wouldn't anyone want to embrace the greatest gift ever given? I think so. I think so, but there are many that will not and do not. Let go of that fear that you have, just like the angel said. Don't be afraid. This is great news. Embrace the Heavenly Father. Accept His Son and live in love and obedience. That is the great news. You've got nothing to be afraid of. Whatever you face in your life, whatever changes that status quo in your life, know that God already knew before it happened that your status quo was being changed. God already knew before it happened the thing that might upset you, the thing that might throw your life upside down. God already knew, and He said, I'll be with you through all of that. Do not be afraid, for I'm with you. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, thank You that You're there with us, for us. You sent Your advocate, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, to come to be present with us, to work on our behalf. Thank You, dear God, that ultimately we have nothing to be afraid of because we have You. We are grateful, and Lord, as we spend our last few moments together this morning in Holy Communion, remind us of what You did, the price You paid to make sure that we had nothing to be afraid of. It happened on the cross. And You prepared the disciples with that Last Supper when You said, this body, My body, I'm going to give for you. My blood, I'm going to shed for you. And you're going to be okay. Because it'll take care of that thing that is your problem. It's called sin. Nailed to the cross. You rose from the dead. And we have victory. So we celebrate that as we partake of communion this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen.